tasyapi tavadeho yam vipanasya jajivisho paraityanichato dino jarya vasasi iva tasya of this api in spite of tava your deha body I am this kripanasya of one who is miserly jijivisho of you who desire life parayati will dwindle anichataha even unwilling jinaha deteriorated jaraya old vasasi garments eva like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Yesa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Please repeat. Despite your unwillingness, to die, and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Purport. The words kripanasya jijivisho are significant. There are two classes of men. One is called the kripana and the other is called the brahmana. The kripana or the miserly man has no estimation of his material body. But the brahmana has a true estimation of himself and the material body. The kripana, having a wrong estimation of his material body, wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength. And even in old age, he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as a kripana because without any estimation of his material body, he wants to live at any cost. Vidura is trying to open his eyes to see that he cannot live more than his term, and that he must prepare for death. Since death is inevitable, why should he accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. Human life is meant for finishing all kinds of miseries of material existence, and life should be so regulated that one can achieve the desired goal. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy, so it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Such a life is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of the human form of life. Only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura, and by his instruction gets rid of the nescience of material existence. Translation. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. So Hare Krishna. See, here we're hearing some very classic and poignant verses illustrating the example of Dhritarashtra. Uh, he was in, no, he had a very big position in society. He was actually king, although he was blind from birth, and also he was spiritually blind, but somehow or other, by providence, he came to be the king of the world, because his younger brother Pandu died untimely, and he had he had 100 sons, and the kingdom of the Kauravas was very, very amazing. Even though they were not devotees of Krishna, still it was. If you read about the kingdoms, like the dynasty of the Kauravas in the ancient times, what to speak of the Pandavas, who are exalted devotees of the Lord. But even the Kauravas, they were related with the Pandavas, so they were coming from an exalted line. Dhritarashtra himself was the son of Vyasadeva, one of the sons of Vyasadeva, Pandu, Dhritarashtra, and Vidura. They were all brothers, sons of Vyasadeva, so highly exalted souls. But somehow or other, Dhritarashtra, even though he had such exalted brothers and an exalted line, he was spiritually blind. But we see the end of his life, even though he had so much honor and prestige and position and fame, and he had very powerful sons. His 100 sons were very powerful, led by Duryodhana. But in the end, they were all gone. His 100 sons were completely annihilated. And his kingdom was handed back over to the rightful heirs, the Pandavas. And he was left with practically nothing, just his body, and which was deteriorating in his old age. As we read before in previous verses, his teeth were loose and almost falling out. His throat was choking up with mucus. His liver was not functioning, it was defective. Many inauspicious symptoms, which signify one is very close to death. But still, in that deteriorated position, he was living, as the Bhagavatam points out, like a household dog. Living at the mercy of the Pandavas, who killed all his sons. And not taking heed that his old age and diseased body was a sign from Krishna to get out of such a situation and become detached and renounce the household situation, become like Vanaprastha and go to the Himalayas. Eventually, we'll see in the story, he did. Vidura's preaching was very cutting, and it woke Dhritarashtra up to his horrible position, and he left home. Not seen by all the other family members, he and his wife Gandhari and Vidura, they left home and went to the forest. So this is, Srila Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, everyone is practically a Dhritarashtra. Everyone is stuck in the household life right up to death, and no one wants to give it up. And even though it's very insignificant, the happiness there is just based on eating and sex life. Very miserly happiness. And even though people there, they become very frail and invalid in old age, they don't want to give up that so-called happy life, which is compared to the deep dark well of material existence. If you've fallen in a well, where is the happiness there? In a matter of days, you will die. And if someone comes and offers a rope for you to get out of the well, it's still very difficult. You may climb up the rope, and there may be rats gnawing away at the rope. There may be like some bees or mosquitoes hovering around to bite you, and then maybe a tiger at the top. And so that's like the spiritual master giving Krishna consciousness is like he's like the person throwing the rope in the well to save these Dhritarashtras, just like Vidura. He's giving the rope of attachment to Krishna, to the lotus feet of Krishna. But still, even though most people are offered this rope of Krishna consciousness, they don't want to take it. They're thinking, I don't need this Krishna consciousness, this spiritual life. I'm already happy, I'm satisfied, I'm surrounded by all my relatives and friends and wife and children. I've got adequate bank balance. I've got my sense gratification. Even Srila Prabhupada says here, he wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength. Even in old age, he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Classic example in the modern times is Frank Sinatra. In his old age, he was a very lusty person, and to enjoy women. His old age, he lost the capacity to enjoy sex life, so he had some medical treatment. They take glands from the monkeys in Africa or India, and they insert them in the human body, and so they can enjoy life, sex life with vigor again, even in their old age. So this is the abominable situation. So it's very amazing that now one can understand that, okay, well, the people in the youth, death seems so far away, and they're very healthy, and they have full faculty to enjoy their senses. One can understand that, maybe difficult for a lot of people to take spiritual life seriously. But when one is in the condition like Dhritarashtra, completely deteriorated, completely dishonored, lost all his honor and prestige, and his body is like an old garment, how can one live in this condition, go on living in this condition, and not take seriously to spiritual life, and take seriously the instructions of a spiritual master? This just goes to show the unwillingness, as this verse said, the unwillingness of the soul, the conditioned soul, to die. Srila Prabhupada says, no one wants to die. Everyone wants to drag on as long as he can, even to the fag end of life, to try and enjoy this material body. But as it says here, in the end, it's like an old garment. Just like you have, have an old shirt, old pants. Eventually, if you keep them long enough, they get holes and rips and everything like that. It's bound to happen, isn't it? We've all had experience, dhotis, saris. After a few years, they fall apart. So it's natural for the body, for all bodies, whether human or animals or demigods, it's natural for the body to go through these changes. There's nothing surprising. Old age or disease or death is not surprised, shouldn't be surprising. Because Krishna says, and Srila Prabhupada says, the body goes through six changes. Birth, maintenance, producing offspring, growth, dwindling and dying. And Krishna himself says, Jahas Chatasa Yidrabomitra, Juvam Drama Janman Mritasa Cha. One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. So materialistic people are very fearful of old age and death because they have no knowledge of why this is happening to their body, or because they're identifying with the body. They're thinking, this is me. They don't have any knowledge of the soul beyond the body and the soul's relationship with Krishna, or where they're going to at the time of death. But as devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, we also have bodies that are also deteriorating and experiencing disease and old age and finally death. But for a devotee, he welcomes death because it's a chance to either go back to Godhead, or if he is not completely successful, he's born again. And if he practices Krishna consciousness strictly throughout this life, then Krishna says, such a person, even unsuccessful after long practice, is born into a family of transcendentalists. Such a birth is very rare in this world. So he's not afraid of death. He welcomes death because it's a chance either to go back to Godhead or take up Krishna consciousness again in a youthful body. As Srila Prabhupada says here, there's two classes of people. One is a creepera, a miserly person who has no estimation of his material body. And he has no knowledge of the soul or the supreme soul, Krishna. But he doesn't even understand what his material body is. Especially the human body. He's not understanding. This is a wonderful gift given by Krishna and the laws of material nature to be engaged in the service of Krishna. To utilize his senses for hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, preaching the glories of Krishna. But the other type of person is the Brahmana, or the devotee. Brahmana or Vaishnava. Brahmana means one who's broad-minded, who understands the difference between the body and the self and the controller of both, Krishna. And he perfectly understands that he's not this body. He's not the mind. He's not the intelligence. He's the eternal soul. Part and parcel of Krishna. Jivara Surupaya, Krishna Aranichadas. That he understands he's eternally a loving servant of Krishna. And by the mercy of my spiritual master and Krishna, I receive this wonderful opportunity to utilize this human body in rendering loving service to Krishna. Pramanda Brahmati Kanda Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prashadapaya Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity is wandering in all different species of life in this material world for millions of lifetimes. But somehow or other, by his good fortune, he gets in contact with a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada, who plants the creeper of devotion within his heart. And even though previously, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we had no knowledge, no understanding, no spiritual practice, completely addicted to all sinful activity, now look at our great fortune. We're here, hearing the Bhagavatam class every day, chanting and dancing, preaching, worshipping the deity, associated with devotees, taking prasadam. What a wonderful position. This is what we do in the spiritual world. Chant, dance and take prasadam and associate with Krishna and the cowherd boys and all the great souls in the spiritual world. So we've reached the perfection of life. The devotee is already liberated. He doesn't care for liberation. He leaves it up to Krishna. He doesn't even care whether he goes back to the spiritual world or the same planet or achieving the same opulence, the same bodily form as Krishna. He just wants to serve Krishna lifetime after lifetime. Iha yasha kala desha kamana manasa gira. It says that the person who has engaged his words, his thoughts, his actions in the service of Krishna is considered a liberated soul even while living in this material body. We've already reached the perfection of life. So this is the Brahma of the Vaishnavas, especially the Vaishnavas. And the devotees, they're automatically Brahmanas. Broad-minded. They understand perfectly what is their situation, why are they here, what is the real purpose of life. To achieve the perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, loving Krishna, reviving that eternal relationship, which is within the hearts of all living entities. It says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sajjakabhanaya. That love for Krishna is eternally within the hearts of all living entities. It cannot be taken away. But when one hears and chants about Krishna, then that love is brought out. Just like you have two sticks, like the Aborigines, they rub the sticks together. The fire is lying dormant in the sticks, and if you're expert, you rub the sticks together and the fire comes out. So Krishna consciousness is lying dormant. Even in the most fallen conditioned souls, like the Dhritarashtras of this material world, Krishna consciousness is there. And it can be invoked at any moment. Especially by the mercy of the spiritual master, the self-realized souls. Like Srila Prabhupada says, only by good luck with such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura, and by his instruction gets rid of the nescience of material existence. It's not possible to get out of the ignorance of material existence, this deep dark well, unless we get the mercy and meet the pure devotees like Vidura. Matiana Krishna Paratasvatova Mitopipa Jeta Grihabhadanam Adanta Govir Vishitanta Misham Punapanas Chavata Chavananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons addicted to sense gratification make progress towards hellish life and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclination to Krishna is never aroused by their own efforts, by the help of other materialistic people, or by a combination of both. There's no material person, even the greatest king, materialistic king or queen of this world, who can help other conditioned souls come out of this ignorant position. Like Srila Prabhupada says, a drowning man cannot save another drowning man. But, you know, if there's a suitable ship with a good captain and favourable winds, then any drowning man can be saved from the ocean of nescience. In the 11th canto it says, Nridiham Ajam Sulabham Sudulabham, that this human form of body is like a suitable boat to cross over the ocean of ignorance. And the spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada, is like the suitable captain, and the Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, like the favourable winds to guide the boat on its course back home, back to Godhead. And one who doesn't take advantage of all these things is like the killer of his own soul. So we don't want to end up like Dhritarashtra at the end of our life, in complete ignorance and attached to a miserly situation in a very deteriorated bodily condition of life. And we should not want others to be in this position either. That's why it's our duty to try and spread Krishna consciousness, to enlighten people, to give them a chance to get out of this horrible condition which they're heading for. They may be so-called young and happy and enjoying now when they're young and youthful, but they're all going to end up like this. All conditioned souls will end up like this unless they get the mercy of the devotees who intervene in their life and give them some instructions from the Bhagavad Gita, or give them a book, or give them the chance to hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or some chance to take prasadam and associate with devotees. Then they have a great chance. It's said that even if people chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once sincerely, or take one mouthful of prasadam, they're guaranteed of getting a human form of body in their next life. Otherwise, as the Bhagavatam describes, they have to go back through the 8,400,000 species of life. Very horrible situation. So, as sure as death, we hear the saying as sure as death. There's two things you can't avoid. What are they? Death and taxes. And if you may be experts, no, someone may somehow avoid taxes, but you can't avoid death. Time and tide waiteth for no man. So, you know, that there was a story of the king. He's ordering, trying to order the waves to stop coming in. Time and tide. But the tide keeps coming in, the waves keep coming in. So even the greatest ruler of the world, the greatest conquerors, they're subject to time and death. What to speak of us? No, insignificant, especially in Kali Yuga, insignificant living beings. You know, we don't have any great spiritual assets, or maybe even materially, we don't have much position in society or wealth. And, you know, even the demigods, the great demigods, Lord Brahma and the other demigods, their life seems very, Prabhupada says in the first canto, in one verse, he says it seems very fantastic. Or he says in Bhagavad Gita, actually, says Lord Brahma's life seems very fantastic and interminable. But even Lord Brahma, he has to come to the end of his life. But Srila Prabhupada says because he's a great devotee engaged fully in Krishna's service, he goes straight back home, back to the spiritual world. along with all his associates. Lord Brahma's life, as we understand, is 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. This seems very amazing and seems practically eternal. But for Lord Brahma, his life is just like 100 years. It's all relative. Even his day is, you know, the four yugas put together, 4,300,000 times 1,000 cycles. That's one of his days, and the same period is one of his nights. And then he lives for a hundred of such years. But Krishna says himself, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avatano Jinamamu Pechita Kunte Apuna Jamnana Vijate, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet in the material world, all the places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. For one who attains my eternal abode by Kuntha, Krishna Loka, never takes birth again in this material world. So if even the great demigods like Lord Brahma, they have to die, then what to speak of us, insignificant humans? There was a story of Vyasadeva's grandfather. He was thinking, I don't want to die. And he approached Yamaraj, and Yamaraj said, well, you know, even though Yamaraj is the controller of the destiny of the sinful and the pious in his world, he said, well, what can I do? It's up to you. No, you should go and see. There's one higher, not maybe it was Mahakala Purush. Was it him first? Does anyone know the story? No, it was this personality, Mahakala Purush. So first he went to him, and this personality said, you'll have to go and see Yamaraj. He's actually the one who's controlling the destiny of people according to their piety and their sinful activities in this material world. So Vyasadeva's grandfather, he went along to Yamaraj, and he asked Vyasadeva and Mahakala Purush to accompany him. So they all went together to see Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, well, actually, it's better we all go and see Chitragupta, because he's like the scribe of this universe. He's accounted everyone for their sinful and pious activities. He has it in a big book. And so they all went along to see Chitragupta. And so Vyasadeva's grandfather said, I don't want to die. Can you look up my destiny in your account? So Chitragupta looked up the life of Vyasadeva's grandfather, and it said, Vyasadeva's grandfather will not die unless he's accompanied by Vyasadeva, Mahakala Purush, and Yamaraj. And at that moment, he died on the spot. The Prabhupada tells the story of some people, they're trying to avoid Yamaraj. One man, he covers himself in stool. He's thinking, Yamaraj won't approach me. But Yamaraj comes and gets him. Another man, there's a whole lot of statues, and he sits himself amongst the statues, very still, and he's thinking Vyasadeva won't be able to tell the difference. Vyasadeva comes and gets him straight away. So that's the nature of this material world, that birth, death, old age and disease. Even, you know, from the tiny ant to the greatest Lord Brahma, and even the material universe is undergoing these changes. And unless when one becomes an advanced devotee, then everyone is actually fearful of death. You know, people pride themselves, you meet people, you know, I'm not afraid of death, I'm not afraid of dying. But if you actually, you know, point a gun to their head, then they'll admit it and say, no, please, not me, I'm not ready. But actually everyone is very fearful and unwilling to die. No one wants to talk about it. But if we become advanced devotees, then we can become free of even death. And the devotees are not afraid to talk about death and getting old and getting diseased, because they understand this is just the nature of the material body. I'm not this material body. I'm an eternal spirit soul, servant of Krishna, full of happiness, full of knowledge, and I have my eternal loving service relationship with Krishna. So no matter what condition my body is in, or what lifetime I'm in, whether in the heavenly planets, earthly realms, or the hellish planets, the devotee's mentality is, I just want to go on serving Krishna and associating with devotees. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed like this: "My Lord, if you want me to take birth again in this material world, may it be in the house of your devotee, even if I'm an insignificant insect. Just as long as I get the chance to associate with your devotees and render some service to you." Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a devotee, whether he goes to heaven or hell, he goes on serving Krishna. Just like a machine, like a hay making machine, it makes hay. Whether you put it in this part of the universe or that part of the universe, it carries out its function of making hay. So here we see Dhritarashtra, coming from a very great line, at the cost of his honour and prestige, he was living a very miserly existence with a very deteriorated body, just like a household dog. He was losing his honour and prestige in two ways, we could say. One was that he was living in the house of the Pandavas, even though they killed all his sons. He was still accepting charity and mercy and food from them. And he was also losing his honour and prestige in another way, because his body was completely deteriorated. Still, he wasn't willing to get out of this well, deep dark well of family life, until he was practically kicked out by Vidura. Vidura had to use very harsh, strong words. Yudhisthira, he said an amazing thing, that the most amazing thing in this world is that although people see their fathers and grandfathers grow old and die, still they're thinking, it won't happen to me. This is the greatest wonder of the world. People are hoping against hope that they will be able to make a permanent situation in this temporary world. And they're putting their faith in the scientists and the doctors that they will come up with some formula, some medicine to prolong their life and stop death. And even you hear of foolish stories like, who was it, Walt Disney, who put himself, he had his body frozen. And so that, you know, one day he can be taken out from the frozen ice and rejuvenate his life again. But no, Prabhupada would say this is a post-dated check. The scientists are saying in the future we will stop death. In the future we will create eternal life. But why can't they do it now? What to speak of stopping death? They cannot create life. They cannot even create a blade of grass or an ant, Srila Prabhupada says. One time there was this magician was doing some tricks for Srila Prabhupada, his devotees. He was putting a coin in Prabhupada's ear and pulling it out the other, and the devotees were thinking this is very offensive to the spiritual master. Prabhupada was finding it humorous. Then the magician, he sat down. Srila Prabhupada said, "Can you stop death?" And the man said, "No, I cannot do this." Prabhupada said, "This is the real magic. I'm giving these boys and girls Krishna consciousness, and this is stopping a future death for them in this material world." So, and even as devotees, now what to speak of materialistic people, even as devotees, we see devotees dying around us. even untimely, even so-called untimely. Of course, whenever a devotee dies, it's Krishna's will. Even they die very young. But probably all of us know some devotees who have died in a young age. I've had friends in Krishna consciousness who have died in their 20s, 30s, from cancer. Or one young devotee, he got killed by a truck. He was talking to Ramai Swami, you know, right next to his car on the side of the highway, and this truck came along and just clipped him and killed him just instantly like that. Other devotees from cancer, different ways, even 20s, 30s, 40s like that. And even some of our spiritual masters have died relatively young age, in their 50s. So there's no guarantee that although we're practicing Krishna consciousness, that we're going to live to a ripe old age. So why we have this chance, why we have some health and youth and life, we should fully immerse ourselves in Krishna consciousness, thinking that today or tomorrow I will die. This is actually the mood we should be in. That every morning we get up and every time we go to sleep at night, we should be praying to Krishna, our spiritual master, that today or tomorrow I will die, so please let me fully immerse myself in your service. And if we practice Krishna consciousness as much as we can, while we have the opportunity, then there's a good chance we'll be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. We practice chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then, you know, whenever some danger comes, or whenever death comes, then the devotees immediately, Hare Krishna. So we should be chanting, like Srila Prabhupada says, chant at least 16 rounds on our beads and unlimited rounds off our beads. We chant our 16 rounds, but all through the day, we should try and chant Hare Krishna while driving, while cooking, while we're going to sleep. Practice. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the most powerful process to extract ourselves from this Dhritarashtra consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya, he's so merciful. He's come to save even the most fallen Dhritarashtras and Jagai and Madais in this Kali Yuga. Vairagya Vijaya Nijabhakti Yoga Shikshashtamika Purushaparana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Saridadari Kripambhuri Yastam Aham Prapajye. We should offer our respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's very merciful, given us this transcendental knowledge. He's teaching us detachment from this materialistic way of life, and he's teaching us his devotional service. So through this transcendental knowledge and becoming detached from material attachments, trying to transfer those attachments to the lotus feet of Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada says, dovetailing everything in the service of Krishna. Okay, we have this bad bargain, but make the best use of a bad bargain. Instead of being attached to sense gratification and enjoying the so-called pleasures of this world, we should utilize this human form in hearing and chanting and remembering and serving Krishna. And learn the process of devotional service enunciated by Lord Chaitanya and his followers like Srila Prabhupada. In this way we can create good fortune for ourselves and others. And try to become a dedicated preacher in Krishna consciousness. Is that the whole mood of the devotee is to not just to be concerned about himself, but to deliver others at the same time. The Sangatan movement is set up for this purpose, for spreading widely the glories of Krishna's holy names. And Srila Prabhupada has given us this process. Just go out, chant in the streets, distribute books, distribute prasadam. These are the most powerful ways to attract people to Krishna consciousness. And we see if we do these things, actually many souls will come. When we perform the Sangatan Jagya, even sometimes people get the books or they get Prasadam, sometimes it's not even those people who join, but Krishna inspires other people within the heart to come and join this movement if we just perform this Sangatan Jagya. And in this way we can save ourselves from this miserly mentality and deliver others at the same time. So does anyone have any questions or comments? Speak up a bit.
Would you like to share any of your experiences while on the distribution that you remember the most?
One story comes to mind. I was at the RTA registering my car one time, and I have an old Mercedes, and this guy who was parked next to me, he said, "Oh, that's a nice car." And I had the fourth canto of Bhagavatam in my hands. I was just reading it. And when I was going to the RTA, I was going to read it if I had a few spare minutes. And I said, "Yeah, well, actually, I'm a monk, and we're showing these books around." I showed him the fourth canto, a big, like, huge Bhagavatam like this. And he was very interested. But at the end, he said, when I asked him for a donation, he said, "Well, I don't know if I could take it. I'm a Christian." And I said, "Well, you know, this is universal knowledge for everyone, whether you're Christian, Hindu, Muslim, and it teaches the science of the soul in relationship with the Supreme Lord, God. We're all eternally related with that Supreme Lord. You should take it." So he took the Bhagavatam and he gave a big donation. And so just in any circumstance, no, we should always have... That's, I guess, one of my realizations. Always try and carry books, because you never know any time, place, and circumstance Krishna can arrange someone to meet you. You should have some books there ready for them. Even my wife Krishna Rupa, she's always encouraging me, like, always carry books when you're going overseas to India. You know, take as many books as you can fit in your suitcase and your shoulder bag. And she's always pushing me, you know, even though it's a bit hard for her because she's got two children. She used to, you know, be very enthusiastic to do books, but now it's a bit difficult. So she's always pushing me, you know, when you're at the airport, on the planes. So every time we go on the planes between, like, Australia and India, I'm going up and down the aisles distributing some books. And one flight I was between Gold Coast and Malaysia, and I got away with it for a while, but then the stewardesses, they were like Australian, they came around and said, "Sorry, sir, you can't do this, you'll have to sit down." And then when I got to Delhi Airport, one lady came up to me. She said, "I was on the plane and I was following you around and I wanted to get a book." She said, "I'm a yoga teacher," so she got a Bhagavad Gita off me at the airport in Delhi. And then I usually find that the planes between Singapore and India, or the internal flights in India, you can usually do the whole plane because they're sort of usually Indian staff and they're coming from a Hindu background, so they don't mind, they don't say anything. And can actually be quite good on the planes and the airports, in Indian airports, Australian airports. So any time where you have... No, of course it's nice to go out full time, but if you're not going out full time, just carry some books wherever you are. No, waiting at the airport, or, you know, going shopping, try and look for someone, pray to your spiritual master to give you an opportunity to meet someone who's interested in these books, and Krishna will make arrangements. One time I was here a few years ago, and I was with a devotee called Dhruva. He lives up north now in Byron Bay. He used to be Brahmachari in Brisbane. And he was going to Geelong, and he went early, and I stayed for the morning program, and then, you know, I had a few things to do, and then by the time I left, it was a little bit late. I got down sort of in the afternoon to Geelong. I was thinking, I've only got a few hours, you know, I'll try and do something, but I may not do much. And then I'd been doing a few, distributing books to some bookshops, like wholesaling books, and, you know, it was sort of bit of success. People, you know, some shops taking $100, $200 here and there. So I went to this bookshop in Geelong, And I had a whole variety of books in the van. All of Prabhupada's books and Korma's cookbooks and kids' books and CDs. And this man in the shop, he was interested straight away, and he took like two or three of everything I had. And it was like $2,000 worth of books. So after a couple of hours... After a couple of hours I went down to Dhruva, and he'd been working all day, and when he heard this story he was like amazed. So there's many, many ways in which we can distribute the books. We should, Prabhupada said we should rack our brains how to spread this Krishna consciousness. How to distribute these books.
I think maybe I'm following.
Any other questions or comments? Just read the verse again. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honour and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. Yeah.